And welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan, of course, with you. And I wanted to talk about something that people are naming the Christmas star. And it's supposed to be happening tonight. I know you look outside, you got the clouds, and that's kind of what we have. But I still think it's very important to talk about. The Buell Planetary Manager is on the phone with me, Mike Hennessy. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time and doing this today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Tracy.
Now, I want to talk about a couple of things because today is the winter solstice. So first of all, explain why that's important and how that connects to what we're about to talk about.
So today is our winter solstice on Earth in the Northern Hemisphere. This is the day of the year when our night is the longest. And from here on out, the night will get shorter and shorter for us. As a matter of cosmic coincidence, we also have the great conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in our night sky. A conjunction is a fairly common occurrence when two planets or perhaps a planet and the moon appear very close in the sky from our perspective. But a great conjunction, that's the conjunction of our two greatest gas giants, Jupiter and Saturn, only happens once every 20 years.
So,
and for one to happen where they appear this close in the sky, we have not seen that since the time of Galileo.
So, Mike, when you're talking about these two planets, so let me explain a little bit, because when this is being dubbed the Christmas star, if you will. Really, this has nothing to do with the stars. It has everything to do with two planets.
Yeah. So Jupiter and Saturn, think of them as runners on a track. Jupiter's orbiting the sun once every 12 Earth years. Saturn's much farther out, so it's going a lot slower. It's huffing and puffing around the sun every 29 years. But from our perspective on Earth, tonight, when we look up in the night sky, it will appear as if Jupiter and Saturn are very, very close. It's like watching these two runners pass each other. And they'll be so close that if you put your pinky finger out at arm's length, they'd be closer together than that. They're 1/10 of a degree apart, so you could easily blot out both planets just with your pinky finger. Now, with 20/20 vision, you'd probably see a bright double planet there, but some might see a little bit of a melting where it might appear star-like. The difference is that unlike stars, these planets are only, they're not shining and giving off their own light. They're simply reflecting light from the sun back to us here on Earth.
Now, explain what you mean by they're really close together, because my terminology in that, your definition in that, probably differ quite a bit. What do you mean by that they're really close? How far away are these two planets from each other?
Oh, that's a great question. So here on Earth, they will appear 1/10 of a degree apart. Another way to think of that is blotting them out with your pinky finger, or if you see the moon in the night sky, the diameter of the moon is 5 times wider than the distance between these two planets tonight. They are very close together in our sky. But out in space, they're actually 400 million miles apart. Saturn is about twice as far away from the sun as Jupiter. So think of Saturn as a runner that is far more distant, but it just happens to be at almost the same spot from our perspective as we're looking up from Earth. So even though they appear very close in our night sky, they are still really quite far apart out in space.
Now, let's pretend that we don't live under a cloudy sky in this Pittsburgh area. Let's just pretend that for a moment, right? It always seems like when we talk about these big events, I'll go outside and we're like, well, there's the clouds again, so I can't see what we're talking about. But let's say it was a clear sky. And we could go, could we see this with the naked eye, or do we have to have a telescope in order to really get the full view of this?
So if we have a clear sky tonight, and you head outside and you face south, look southwest, find the moon, and then just look to the right a little bit, you could see this event with the naked eye. Jupiter will appear to be the brightest thing shining on that part of the sky, next to our moon, of course. And you would see Jupiter and Saturn extremely close together, and you can enjoy that even just with the unaided eye. With a small backyard telescope, it gets even more fun. You can actually see Jupiter and Saturn together in the field of view of your telescope, which is really exciting. And you could even see the four moons that Galileo himself discovered, the four biggest moons of Jupiter, lined up as tiny white specks of light as well around the planet Jupiter.
Now, if you have a really good telescope, which I'm sure you have, especially at the Buell, you have the top ones. What is it that you're seeing, if you can describe that for us? And I ask that because, again, me without a telescope, I go out and I love to try to figure out what you know, but I go out and I see lights in the sky, you know, so I'm not exactly sure if I'm looking at stars. Am I looking at planets? Like, what am I looking at? So what do you see as an expert looking through a telescope that's, you know, equal to what you have at the Buell?
So looking through our telescopes at Carnegie Science Center, we would see the bands of Jupiter, the stripes that give Jupiter its characteristic, those swirling storm clouds that move in those colorful stripes around the planet. We would see four dots lined up nearby, and those are the four largest moons of Jupiter, discovered by Galileo himself. It's kind of fitting because the last time there was a conjunction this close was the year 1623 during Galileo's lifetime, not long after he first looked at Jupiter through a telescope. But we would also see Saturn in the same field of view in the telescope and another dot, which would be its largest moon, Titan. With Saturn, what's particularly exciting, too, is we can see its rings. Now, Saturn's rings are extremely wide. They're 175,000 miles wide, but they're only 30 feet thick on average. Saturn's rings are extremely thin. So sometimes in some years, they're edge-on. It's not a great viewing opportunity, but this year the north face of the rings are tilted toward Earth. So that means we get a really nice view of Saturn's rings through the telescope.
Have you been able to see this yet, Mike? I mean, have you been able to use your telescopes and see what you want to see, what you're expecting to see?
So I've been able to track Jupiter and Saturn since the summer. Saturn has been chasing Jupiter through our night sky, kind of appropriate in Roman mythology. Saturn was Jupiter's dad. So Saturn has been chasing Jupiter as kind of a fainter light in the night sky. And I have been able to see both Jupiter and its four Galilean moons, as well as Saturn and those gorgeous rings in the fall. And the good news is that there's a great post show to the conjunction. So even though tonight is when they'll be at their closest, there's still a couple more weeks that folks over the Christmas season can get outside and look up and find Jupiter and Saturn in the southwest and take in the view.
And I'm glad you mentioned that even the post show, you would be able to see something, because it sounds like in our conversation, this happened in about 20 minutes and it's gone again. I mean, this is a very slow moving conjunction, isn't it?
Yes. So Jupiter and Saturn are at their closest this evening, but the good news is it's not a blink and you miss it kind of event. While they're at their closest this evening, I think they're putting on a spectacular show throughout the fall, throughout December, and through the holiday season. So if it's too cloudy tonight, try tomorrow, the next night, and you can still look at Jupiter's bright glow in the southwest and Saturn not far behind. And if you have binoculars or a telescope, extend the view and enjoy even more.
Now, when you say tonight they'll be at their closest, is it just a coincidence that it would be tonight? Like, is there a time stamp that you've given to this or scientists have given to this that you say this is the peak time?
So the peak time for us, if the clouds would part, would be to head outside a little bit after dinner. They are sinking low in the southwest, and they'll be gone by 7:15 p.m. So I'd recommend getting outside. The show starts around 5 p.m., but make sure you're outside a little after 6, after the last glow of the sunset has dissipated, and then you can really take in the view of Jupiter and Saturn. That is when they'll be at their apparent closest to us, but they'll still remain close in the sky for the next couple weeks.
Again, talk about when this is going to happen again, or when do you expect this to happen again?
Sure. So if you head outside tonight, a little after dinner, the show starts around 5 p.m., and if you go outside and look southwest, you'll see Jupiter in the night sky just to the right of the moon, and Saturn will be fainter and close behind it. And you'll want to get outside at least by 6 p.m., as sunset starts to fade. Those planets are sinking low in the southwest. They'll be gone by 7:15, So you'll want to be outside between 6 and 7 to really get the best view.
And Mike, let me ask this specifically. I'm asking, like, when will this happen again? I appreciate you reviewing that. Do you think this will happen in another 20 years, though? Do you think it'll be 50 years? Do you think it'll be 100 years? Like, when is the next round of these two planets to be so close together?
A great conjunction occurs actually every 20 years. So Jupiter and Saturn appear close together in the night sky every 20 years. Now, sometimes it happens during the nighttime. A lot of times it happens during the daytime. Even Galileo in 1623, that's the last time they were this close, that conjunction was lost in solar glare. So to go back in time to one that was this close during the nighttime, we're going back to the 1200s, to the time of Genghis Khan. And going forward into the future, the next time they'll be this close and we'll have a good nighttime view is in the year 2080.
I'm excited for you because, I mean, I love seeing all of this, but this is what you live day in and day out. And to have this kind of event come around again, I can just imagine you being a kid in the candy store right now and just wanting to see all of this.
But it is very exciting.
It is.
And I have to say, even though today it's cloudy, it's still very exciting because conjunctions, they call attention, I think, to the marvelous show that planets put on as they wander across our night sky. And events like these remind folks to get outside and look up. And it's perfect right now at the end of the year during the holiday season, I think, for folks to get outside and share in this together and see if they can find Jupiter and Saturn for themselves. So I always get excited about conjunctions like these because they just they remind us to get outside and look up and take in the show that nature's putting on for us.
And I don't want to go too far off of this main topic that I wanted to ask you about, but I do want to ask just anything in general. What is the next big event that you would be planning on and seeing in outer space, but, you know, in our galaxy?
So that's a great question. There's always something new coming up. And in addition to Jupiter and Saturn putting on a show right now, Mars is also in our night sky. So in addition to Jupiter and Saturn, Mars is next at bat, putting on a really nice show in the night sky. And over the next month, it's a wonderful opportunity to head outside and see if you can pick out the red planet Mars. You can also find the red giant Aldebaran in Taurus the Bull. But Mars is particularly exciting because in February, we're landing a rover on Mars. NASA's latest, greatest robot, the Perseverance rover, is slated to land on February 18th. And on that same day, we'll have a conjunction of the moon and Mars when they'll be very close in the night sky. So that's the next big event I'm looking forward to, not only for soaking in the view from Earth, but for finding out about what's happening on the planet Mars and just this achievement of humanity sending another robot to explore the red planet.
And if I could just ask you one other question, I'm curious on your thoughts about the latest pictures coming from the scientists from outer space. How exciting is that you're seeing very detailed pictures that you probably haven't seen before?
I think it's amazing what telescopes and robotic probes can do to extend our vision beyond what human eyes can see. And as we've been talking about Jupiter, I wanted to give a plug to the Juno spacecraft mission. So that's NASA's craft in orbit of Jupiter, and it has a citizen science camera on it. And what makes that really exciting to me is that with a camera and a telescope, you can take your own photos of Jupiter and send them into NASA. And periodically, NASA will pick their favorites, they'll pick the best, and they'll use that to tell Juno's camera what to look at. So folks around the world, amateur astronomers, can become citizen scientists, and everyone has a shot at telling Juno what to look at. So you can actually direct the course of a spacecraft orbiting another world and tell it what to take a picture of. I don't think it gets any better than that.
That's a lot of fun. That is a lot of fun. That's why I love the Carnegie Science Center. You get to go and learn quite a bit, and it's intriguing. And especially with what you do, I just love sitting in the planetarium and watching what you offer, if you will. I don't want to say you create, because you're there and offer such great shows for us to be able to see what has already been created. And so thank you for what you do. I know that you're not having people on site now for a little bit. When do you expect to have visitors back in the building?
So we are hoping to reopen on January 4th. In the meantime, we have a virtual Skywatch, though, planned tonight on our Facebook page at Carnegie Science Center's Facebook page at 5 p.m. So even if it's cloudy tonight, folks can learn a little virtually about what's happening in the night sky.
And is that going to be you, Mike? Are you going to be hosting that?
That will be me and some other great educators on my team.
Oh, great. Fabulous. Well, Mike, I appreciate it again. It's dubbed the Christmas Star. That's kind of what we wanted to talk about, although it's all about two different planets. And it'll be an adventure tonight, and I'm hoping we can see everything that we can. But if not, again, we'll join you on social media to learn what you can offer us. And always interesting talking to you, Mike. Thank you so much for your time.
You too. Thank you very much, Tracy, and keep looking up.
Ha ha ha.